And there you see Giants head coach Tom Coughlin walking off the field here at MetLife Stadium today after his team lost to the Philadelphia Eagles 35-30. It will be his final time walking off the field this season at MetLife Stadium. The question is, will there be another season in the future for head coach Tom Coughlin with the New York Giants? How you doing, everyone? I'm Russ Salzberg. Welcome to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Let's get right to it with my colleague Sean O'Hara, Roman Ovid, and Amani Toomer. Guys, everybody says they know something. I don't think any decision has been made as yet, and now I think we're just in a wait-and-see period.
Well, there's certainly a lot of things that have to be discussed, and you know, from playing for this organization, I know that the owners, the mayor and Tisch family, they want to take their time and make the proper decision going forward, what's best for the organization. But there's a lot of things at play here, you know, and for everybody that says that one person is to blame, this is not all on Coach Coughlin. It's not all on the coaching staff, on just the players. It's everybody. And I think, you know, for the mayors and the Tishes, they really have to look at it and say, how do we make this team better from a roster standpoint, not just from a coaching standpoint?
Yeah, and I said this last week, guys. We've all won Super Bowls before, and we've all also played on teams that weren't very good. But one thing I know about this organization in terms of how they do things, it's a diligent process, and it's thoughtful, it's careful. It's not based on headlines. It's not based on what the fans think. It's this philosophy that works the Mayor and Tisch family. It works for them. And they're not going to make a decision until the decision is right for them. And then everyone also knows. So a lot of people, like you said, Russ, they've made predictions of what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, the decision that's going to be made is going to be for the betterment of this organization going forward.
Of course. And I think the organization needs to take an honest look at where they are. Look at this team, and they're not a very competitive group. They have the injury situation that they had. They just needed a little bit more players to help out this coaching staff, because Tom Coughlin did not forget how to coach.
No.
But there are some players out there that you look at their effort and you look at their execution down the stretch, especially in the fourth quarter of most of the games this season, and it just wasn't good enough.
You know, I think the Giants, they're smart enough to understand you don't just throw a future Hall of Fame coach to the side just for the sake of making change. And you know, the interesting thing is they just played the Eagles and Chip Kelly just got fired. But you think about it, he just got fired for the personnel, and that roster is better than the Giants right
Sorry
now.
To interrupt. Let's hear from the man we're talking about, head coach Tom Coughlin.
Played hard. We played, we did an awful lot of things that were good. We didn't win the game, so that's kind of been the way this has gone. You know, we didn't stop them on third down, but offensively, we rushed for 200 yards. We were 54% on third down ourselves. Had a lot of numbers. About to go into the end zone for a score that would give us a two-score lead. And we throw a pick that not only is an interception, but it ends up in the other end zone. So the frustration continues. Everybody, you got your questions prepared for what direction I'm going in. I'm not going to answer anything about that. The season just ended. There will be time for that. We'll get into that discussion. But, again, I mean, we practiced well. We prepared well. I don't think the players were distracted about all that was going on in the outside world. They came in. We wanted to win. We talked about what our goals were, how it was going to be accomplished, et cetera, et cetera. And we got a couple of turnovers. We made the one major mistake, and they put the ball in the end zone off of it. And that, unfortunately, leaves us with, you know, exactly the way the game ended. So,
given the way that you have a hard time stopping them on third down, what would you thought of going for the field goal instead of trying
third and seven? Yeah. Third and seven. Take the points. 4.5 minutes in the game. Kick the ball off. Stop them. Come on back down. Score a touchdown and win the game. That's exactly what it was. And, you know, I would do it again if I knew the outcome was going to be in the game. Of course, I wouldn't. So we punted the ball earlier a couple of times when it was fourth and two or whatever, and started them out inside the five, which we statistically had studied and found that if you force them to start inside their own 10-yard line, they had 16 drives. They had given the ball. They had turned the ball over twice, punted 11 times, scored twice. So the percentages were with us going into the game to try to put them back in the poor field position. We created that. They moved the ball out of there, unfortunately, but we did get a turnover based on one of those situations, the fumble.
What about the safety play? You lost.
Yeah, we going in, we had two safeties. We had six corners. Two of those people were ready to go back in and play at safety if they had to, and, of course, they both ended up, and McBride got hurt, and then Wade had to go back. Hosley went to the nickel. We were prepared for it. We didn't want it to happen. With two safeties, we wanted the two safeties to be on the field. At the end of the game, Merriweather was hurt, and, of course, even Landon was limping around. So, but they did the job that they had to do. Now, probably the one change right after McBride was hurt didn't get communicated real well, the coverage in the end zone. We gave up a touchdown we didn't have to give up right there, at least on that play.
I know that you said you're not going to talk about which direction you're going in, but have you made a decision, or is that something you have to discuss with?
I'm going to give myself a little bit of time. I'm sure we'll talk with ownership, and then we'll go from there.
Tom, you said that's when you came in and described this game, you said it's kind of the way this season has gone, the way it's been.
The frustration.
Do you think you'll ever decipher, that theme this season, that for all those moments? Do you think you'll always look back to the season and just be confused as to what went wrong, or do you think there's an answer?
Well, I can tell you went wrong with going into this game, five games that ended up in the final 30 seconds, either one way or the other, and this is probably the exact same circumstance. So finishing has been very difficult for this team. And you see it here. I mean, they line up, they throw the ball when the game is on the line. They didn't even go into a normal four-minute mode and run the ball. They made first downs getting the ball in the hands of the tight ends, et cetera, et cetera. And, had we been able to stop them earlier, we would have had more time on the clock, even though my timeouts were probably going to be gone. But finishing the game has been an issue all year for us, and we've talked about it. We've worked on it. I've switched the two-minute drills around in practice to try to make it more of an emphasis, and we're still working on it.
Does that have any different feel for you at all? Everything that
surrounds you? No, you can save that all.
There were reports that your family was on the sidelines. Is that something you...
No, they all. Well, what happens is that fortunately we play at home, and the family gets together not on Christmas because, people have to visit relatives and in-laws and things like that. And so this is the weekend that our group collects. But it was really neat to see the kids are all dressed up in a sweatshirt with a name on the back, and it was neat.
Did you know they were making those?
I didn't know the sweatshirts were. I knew everybody was coming to the game. But
first half, you were down 21-19 toward the touchdown. I was thinking of the 2-point step.
Too early. Too early for me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Did you follow me at all?
Tom,
too early for me.
You talked about the last minute, Has any of this wounded you as a coach and make you think, I could have done something different, or, question yourself?
No.
It was a conversation with
If I could play, I would play, but I can't play.
The conversation with the officials when they punt the ball to you, and they put 2 seconds back on, was about putting time on where you're looking
yes.
for
penalties. Yeah, well, I don't know if you noticed it, but I noticed it. It was 1:43 when the ball hit in the end zone. Thank goodness the officials put the time 2 seconds back up there for us.
Tom, when you talk about the finishing, does a lot of it go to the inability of the defense this year?
Well, if the defense ends up on the field at the end, yeah, but it's happened on offense as well. So.
Tom, on Thursday, you were asked if you wanted to come back.
No, I'm not answering any more questions. Thank you very much. I said that I would think about it. And I will certainly let you know.
There were reports that said you had decided to step aside.
By who?
That's not true.
No one has decided anything. Where do the reports come from? Did you get an initial?
You don't want to know.
Did you get some initials?
Anybody got anything else?
Thank you.
All right, guys? I'm going to take Tom Coughlin at his word. If nothing has been done, and I'll also take ownership at their word, and I'll take Mrs. Coughlin at her word. If nobody knows anything, then it hasn't been done yet. I spoke to John Mara on the field prior to the game. He says he hasn't even spoken to Steve Tisch about the situation yet. And Tom's wife said to me, I just told Tom I don't want to read about it or find out about it from somebody else. So while everybody knows, they don't know except the powers that
be. Well, Tom's a smart man, and he knows you don't make irrational decisions based on emotion. And he's frustrated, and he should be, and he has every right to be, because this season finale ended the way that the season started. They failed in the final 2 minutes of the game to close the game out, and that's been the story all season long. He's absolutely frustrated, but I'll say this. The reason why the Giants love this man, and the reason why we love playing for this coach, is because even till the end right here, he refuses to make it about him. It's about the team. It's always been about the team. It always will be about the team. And that, to me, is one of the reasons why he's the classiest coach that to have ever coached in the NFL. And it's one of the reasons why I think everybody loves Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, real quick, Tom Coughlin is one of the only coaches that I would always make it a point to go on the other side after a game to shake his hand because of the amount of respect I had for him and the type of team that he always assembled, guys that fought to the end. And no matter how the finishing ended up, this team always fought to the end. And when you see a head coach that talks about the game and taking responsibility for the game and what went wrong, that shows, again, the type of person Tom Coughlin is.
Yeah, the Tom Coughlin I know would not give up, quit, resign. I think Tom Coughlin and I know, I mean, I remember playing games, we'd be getting blown out, and we have a whole bunch of timeouts. He'd extend the game and make sure that we used every timeout, even though we knew that we were going to lose. So to me, that's the kind of person he is. I don't think he's going to step down. I think it's going to have to be a situation where they're going to have to ask him to leave before he ends up stepping down.
If that is indeed what the Giants want to do, and I think everybody's assuming there's going to be a change, that remains to be seen. We've got a lot more coming up here on Giants Post Game Live, but right now let's take care of some business, folks. Got to go to www.adorama.com/Giants to win a Samsung 55-inch curved smart LED TV or the QSC K12 loudspeaker system. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. A lot more coming up on our final Giants postgame live show of the season. Eli Manning and more, so stay right where you are. We're coming back. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on Mine9. Let's go right back down to the field now. Speak to Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. Guys?
As we go over what has happened here with the Giants going down to defeat in the finale against Philadelphia, a team that clearly fought once again, Howard. The effort, the energy, it was there right down to the very last drive, and unfortunately for them, the execution was not there, and they came up short.
Yeah, they had a tough time today. You know, the offense did a pretty good job scoring 30 points. That's big. But being able to stop guys defensively, that was the thing that hurt them. I think again, the safety in the middle of the field has plagued the team all year long, and it just showed up one more time today.
We were telling people before you guys were able to throw it down to us that the third down conversion rate, Eagles were well over 80%. That was just one area of this game that the Giants just could not seem to get a grip on, and ultimately it cost them big time.
I would think probably 60% of those plays were plays to the tight end again. That's going to be something they're going to be looking at all offseason, trying to figure it out. As soon as they get back into the building, when they can come back together as a team, that'll be the first thing they'll discuss is how to stop the tight end in the middle of the field and how you cover that guy.
Now, offensively, the Giants had over 500 yards of total offense, and as we were watching from the sidelines, Howard, it was certainly something to watch because the Eagles couldn't stop them either.
You know, what happened was Jennings running the ball was really what happened. He got out and got started. You know, the Eagles, you know, to be as fair as possible, they have the worst run defense also in the league, basically. So Jennings feasted on that moment. With that, it causes you to have better play action. Guys are getting open all over the field. And all of a sudden, we had a Reuben Randall sighting. He did a good job catching the ball deep down the field.
And then the other thing the defense was able to do, they came up with some turnovers in this game, too, Howard. For a while there, it seemed as though there was a drought the last month or so getting turnovers, but they were able to get a few today.
You know, they did a good job of rallying to the ball, making some plays. If you can't get to the quarterback, getting your hands up. I think JPP had a nice tip, gave us an interception there. It's just hitting, poking, having guys around the ball. When they first started out the season, they weren't getting sacks, but they were rallying to the ball. While they rallied to the ball, they were able to create and make turnovers.
Howard, I want to take you to one play before we kick it out of here. Giants were in position to take control in the red zone as so many other times they were this year, and then somehow Lady Luck bit them in the rear end. Ball deflected from behind as Eli was trying to throw it. It gets picked by Walter Thurman, goes the other way for a touchdown. That was the key play in the game. What did you see from the bench?
Oh, it's just simple. You got to run the ball there. Jennings was having his way with them. The offensive line was having his way. You have to run the ball. You're saying that it's one of those plays that was Lady Luck. It wasn't Lady Luck. They just beat Flowers on the edge and hit Eli's arm.
All right, Howard, always good to see you after every game. And, folks, afterwards I had an opportunity to talk to some of the Giants coming off the field.
It's hard. We were coming out here. We wanted to finish on a high note. I didn't finish the season on a high note, and we weren't able to get it done at the end of the game yet again.
With all of the emotions and the headlines scrolling this past week, how much more difficult did it make it to play this game and, of course, the way it ended?
Well, I don't think it made it more difficult at all. I think it, almost made it easier. You're given some reasons to play the game. We came out here and we played hard, but, we didn't make enough stops on defense and weren't able to finish the game right.
Especially third down, it seemed like, in the first half. They were able to convert as many times, it seemed, as low as they wanted.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they probably wanted to convert 100%. I don't think they got that. But it's been an issue all year, and that's something we got to address in the offseason, is really stopping them on third down.
Well, Kerslake, thanks for your time.
Yep, thank you.
Justin, as I just talked to Mark, heartbreaking defeat. You guys have had just too many of those to swallow this year. I know how much it hurts you.
It's tough. It's tough to go out like this. We want to go out with a win. We got to do a better job protecting the ball. We can't give them six. We gave them back all the momentum in the third quarter, so that's just something you can't do and want to win games.
Now, you guys got the running game going. My goodness, this last month it was silent, and today it was extremely potent. What made it click?
We're just going to keep battling. Rashad's a great running back. We give him a hole, he's going to make it look good. But, I mean, you don't get the win, it doesn't really matter.
Final thing, I know you said to me the other day, going out with a win to end the season was huge. So how disappointing is it now to go out this way with a bad taste in your mouth?
It's very disappointing, man. We gotta do better than that. We gotta win for these fans, for our coaches, for the guys in the room. So we gotta do a better job at that. We'll regroup. We'll be all right next year.
Thank you, Justin.
All right, Paul, thank you. And, folks, you listen to Herzlick, you listen to Pugh. That tells you all you need to know. Players never, ever, ever quit on head coach Tom Coughlin. All right, let's take care of a little business, though, right now. Guests of our post-game show receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Steakhouse, located in Manhattan, 5th Avenue at 28th Street. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Again, you're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My 9. Eli Manning coming up, so please stay right where you are.
welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Again, Giants lose their finale of the season, 35-30 to the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you say we now go and let's hear at the podium what quarterback Eli Manning has to say?
You know, I thought we played hard all year. I thought every game we were well prepared. We had a good plan, and we just didn't make plays in critical moments of the game to win. And the case tonight, and made bad plays at critical points also, and which is frustrating. I think we worked hard and guys wanted to do well, guys wanted to win, and we just weren't able to put it together some games.
Did you take something from the fact that your running game has come back, especially today?
Yeah, no, it's great. It was great the way we ran the ball. Offensive line did a great job. They were, you know, they weren't gonna make it easy for us to throw the ball. They were gonna play a shell and a lot of times rolling to Odell. But we had to run it. You know, check to a lot of runs. Just stayed with it and stayed patient and eventually kind of got them out of it a little bit. Opened up some throws, but proud of the way Rashad ran it and the offense line blocked it up.
Eli, let's say if this is Tom Dolphins' last game, what does he mean to you as well as the organization?
You know, whether it is or not, he's been a great coach early on in my career. Just teaching me the importance of preparation, and making me draw up every single blitz that the team had done each and every week, how I protected, what my calls would be, how to prepare for third down and green zone and the game plan and practice and to treat every day as a gift. So he's been a great influence on me.
With so many questions about Dolphins' future, was there something different about today's game on an emotional level?
You know, I think we wanted to go out there and we wanted to win. We wanted to play well. You know, he had a great attitude all week, and that attitude was contagious to the players. Guys wanted to go out there and play well, play hard, and get this win. I thought we had a great effort. Just couldn't put it together.
Obviously, there's going to be some changes in the offseason, but do you think that the core that you guys have between players and coaches could be competitive in 2016?
Yeah, of course. I think we have a number of very good players. I think our coaches are outstanding. I think we just, we need there's some areas where we can make some improvements for sure. But I thought with this squad, we could have won a lot of games this year and had opportunities to win a lot of games, and we just got to find ways to win it as a unit and as a team.
Can you talk about some of the growth of some of the young guys? You have Flowers as a rookie. He played pretty much the whole season, and then Will Tye joins you in the middle of the year.
Yeah, you have a rookie comes in. We wanted to play him on the right side. Will Beattie, our starting left tackle, gets hurt, and he's move him on the left side from early on. He's done a great job. Been banged up some and has played tough and hanging in there. Offense line, we've been moving guys, all around because of some injuries, but they've done a good job. Will Tye, came in kind of halfway through and be a practice squad guy, and he's come in and played well. He's, made a lot of big catches for us and has done an outstanding job. So we had a number of guys step up and do some good things for us this year.
All things considered, would you like to stay in this offense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think I feel very comfortable in the offense. I think we scored a lot of points. We're competitive in most of the games. I thought we had a great game plan. I think we could definitely, with the guys we have and add a few guys, we could be a strong offense.
Is that something you would communicate to the front office, that you want to stay in one offense rather than have to change again?
We'll see what happens with that.
Well, you hear Eli Manning, and you could sense the disappointment. And I thought putting the season in a capsule, when his hand was hit, they're looking like they're going in for six, and it goes a pick six the other way. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. What could have gone wrong this season did go wrong.
Well, I mean, as a left tackle, I've been in that position. A guy gets around the corner, hits the quarterback's hand, pick six, having a safety in the end zone that ends up being 2 points to the other team from a holding call. I mean, those things that you have to go through as a young left tackle, And I think Eric Flowers is going to be an excellent football player. But overall, there were some good things that you saw down the stretch, especially the running game. The pass protection could have been better in certain parts, but the running game improved. Rashard Jennings proved maybe his resume for next year, guys, about what he could do next year. And again, and as long as you have Eli Manning at the quarterback, like, this team always has a chance to win.
I think that, you know, we've got to talk about Ben McAdoo as well, how he's evolved as a coordinator. I think he knows that he needs to whittle down the carries and touches and get to his key players. You got to think players and then plays. And I think now, you know, after experiencing 2 years, a full 2 years of playing, calling plays, his next year he'll be just that much better.
You know, it was great to see Rashad Jennings get going. And we've seen in the last 3 weeks now really become a force, and he's taken over the game. He certainly took over this game. But it also brings the question, why did it take so long to get to that? And that's what you're talking about, Tumor, right there. Why didn't you have Rashad Jennings do this earlier on in the year? Then you wouldn't have had to lose these games at the end. You could have relied on that Foreman offense and let Rashad Jennings wear down the defenses. It almost makes you even more frustrated to see that success now. And granted, it was against the Eagles. Their defense, you know, left much to be desired. But those are the questions that frustrate you even more so now if you're a Giants fan looking at this team saying, we could have done that sooner. And, you know, for Eli, you know, happy birthday, Eli, on your 35th birthday. The thing that's so frustrating, and you could see it in his face and you could hear it in his demeanor, it's not just this season. This has been 3 years of it.
Yes.
It's been building. And so now, for the first time in his career, there's a lot of uncertainty as you go into the offseason. That's not where you want your franchise quarterback to be mentally.
All right. A lot more to talk about. Eli Manning, of course, head coach Tom Coughlin, and these New York Giants. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on Mine Eye. Prior to the break, you heard us talking about Rashad Jennings with a big afternoon, 27 carries for 170 big yards. Let's now go down inside the Giants locker room, hear what Rashad Jennings had to say.
The most frustrating thing is that we found a way to lose in the fourth quarter. We had so many close games. You know, I don't even remember how many. You know, I think we've seen a statistic that, you know, if the game was a couple seconds less, you know, our record would be different. So it's frustrating because you work so hard. The guys work so hard when the coach is not around. The coaches work so hard when the players are not around. Everybody gives good effort day in, day out. And, you know, but this is the outcome.
Do you still endorse your head coach, Tom Coughlin?
Oh, 1,000 times, yes. You kidding me? You know, that's a guy that has so much command in a room, so much respect amongst his peers and us. We'll fight for him. We'll continue to follow him. And there's no doubt about my mind that that's the guy for the job.
Does this team need to back up the bus and start all over, or is it close in some way, shape, or form?
It's definitely close. There's a few things here and there. Obviously, you know, we need to figure out how to play collectively, offense, defense, special teams, so we can get these wins. But you see what we see. We got a good team. There's no doubt about that. But this entire season has been hung up by the fourth quarter losses.
Is this just another one of those? I mean, we're right there.
Yeah, you know, you hate to say it. The game always come down to a couple of plays that you can look at, you know, from the distance and say, oh, it was this play, it was that play. But throughout the course of the game, every single player has an opportunity to kind of step on the gas pedal. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, that's why you got three phases of the game so we can compliment each other when things do happen.
Rashad, record-setting game for you today. Why did everything come together with the running game? Is it been a culmination of kind of what's been happening over the last month?
You know, the offensive line, they did a great job of getting body on body. And, again, you know, it comes down to, you know, finding ways to get those ugly yards. And my offensive line gave the backs opportunities for that this game.
I know midway through the year you used to say that the backs were leaving yards on the field, but it seems like you're, especially the last month, did a great job of making that one guy miss that can make the tackle, breaking the tackle, and getting some extra yards. Are you pretty happy with how you've done in that respect in the past few games?
I'm like I said, I'm my biggest critic. I hold myself to a higher standard that anybody could hold me to. So, no, you know, I feel like I left some yards out here today. But, you know, that's just going to be my MO as long as you see me playing this game. But I'm definitely proud our offensive linemen continue to fight. And I was definitely happy to get an opportunity to kind of get in sync, you know, with the offensive line.
All right, Rashad Jennings. Monty made a great point to me. We were sitting up in the press box together watching the game about the West Coast offense is all fine and dandy, but in the NFC East, take it away.
Well, in the NFC East, you need that presence, and especially when you have young, inexperienced offensive linemen, and you have young players at the skill positions that you can't rely on 100% all the time. One thing that you know travels well, one thing you know is going to be the most consistent thing in your offense is your running game, if your running game is on. So if you can establish that running game, it just makes everything easier. We don't understand Eli had a great season this year, but just think how much better he could have been with a complimentary running game throughout this entire season, even though he did have a spectacular year this year.
Yeah, Monty, as you guys know, I was in this offense in Tampa with Coach John Gruden, and you weren't going to just throw slants up and down the field and throw the ball instead of running it for those quick dart plays, those quick hitches. You have to establish something up front. And I know the new model in the NFL is like throwing the ball in the red zone. Throwing the ball is just as equal as a run. No, it's not. When you're running the ball, you're demoralizing a defensive line. You're pushing them back. When you're in that huddle, Sean, you see that defensive line. They got their hands on their hips. They're catching for win. They're subbing guys in. That's when you know you're controlling the ball. So when I go back to Rashad Jennings, how many weeks did we sit here between October and November saying 8 carries for 30 yards?
Yeah.
As soon as you're seeing 2nd and 10, you're vacating the run. As soon as you're seeing 2-yard gain, now you're throwing the ball. And it became about this vertical game, which I know Coach Coughlin likes, versus the rhythm and the consistency that it takes to move the ball down the field. So I just hope next year going forward, whoever's in charge, the philosophy is consistent, because Rashad Jennings is 137 yards away from being a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
And if I'm him, I'm going to sleep at night saying, how many games should they vacate the run to throw the ball more? And not about the stats, but just about the kind of productivity that he could have had this season.
He definitely could have helped the team out. And by splitting those reps and those carries with Orleans Darkwell and with Andre Williams, it took away from Rashad Jennings' ability to read those plays. A lot like people have seen DeMarco Murray struggle in this shotgun runs. These shotgun runs are different for Rashad Jennings. So he was still getting used to this offense. Seeing him progress at the end of the season like this, it makes you wonder why he couldn't have done that more. And he mentioned the offensive line. And I have to say, I think Pat Flaherty did a phenomenal job this season. When you think about what he had to deal with offensively, your left tackle, Will Beattie, tears his pec in the offseason.
Yep.
So now your rookie first-round pick,
if
you want to start a right tackle, has to play left tackle. You're moving guys around throughout the entire season. Marshall Newhouse didn't play in today's game, so Justin Pugh moved out. Pugh had moved from left guard to left tackle, then to right tackle. I think Flats did a great job holding this group together, and despite the fact that they really didn't run the football, it was one-dimensional offense for a very large part of the season.
You're right. Flats did do a good job, and we'll hear from another one of the young guys he's done a good job with, Weston Richburg. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine from outside of MetLife Stadium. Let's now go back inside. Paul Dottino with Weston Richburg.
How much does Eli help young offensive linemen, especially you, who's having to give him the ball on every snap?
You know what? First off, it's going to be cool to be able to tell my kids, you know, that I even get to play with this guy because he's just such a professional. Obviously, two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs. He knows the game inside and out. He's able to make it easier on our pass protections and run game just by what he sees. You know, he's spent hours watching film and learning the game, and you know, he's able to kind of pass that on to me. You know, me working with him in those kind of situations has been so beneficial for my game, and I've learned a lot this year.
And then finally, as one of the young guys in that locker room, you know, older guys will always talk about how they know the locker room will change year after year. You don't get to keep the same 53. It just doesn't happen in this game. How emotional is it to know that there's a sense of finality and that some of those guys won't be your teammates anymore?
It's a different feeling. You know, coming out of college, you know, you're with those guys for, you know, maybe a two or three year time. So now you never really know. So there is kind of a sense of uncertainty there. You know, who's going to be back, who's not. So, you know, we would have loved to be in the playoffs and play longer this season. But, you know, things turned out the way they did.
Weston Richburg, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on a very successful year at center.
Thank you.
I thought you did a good job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul Dottino, Weston Richburg, thank you very much. Let me ask a former center, your assessment of young Weston in his second season on the job.
Well, Weston Richburg just mentioned uncertainty going forward, and the one thing that Giants fans can be certain of is Weston Richburg's a stud, and I love his demeanor. I love his attitude. I love the way that he plays the position both mentally and physically, and I think for the Giants, there's a lot of optimism when you look at the center position with Weston Richburg, Justin Pugh in the left guard, and Eric Flowers at left tackle. You've got three-fifths of your offensive line that are a great building block for you to moving forward. Now, they're still trying to find a replacement at right guard since Chris Knee retired. They haven't found anybody that can really fill his shoes yet. And I think the right side really needs to be, they need to find some more physical guys. You know, it goes hand in hand with the run game that we were just talking about. But I think the relationship that Weston Richburg has with Eli is just going to continue to flourish. I expect to see Weston Richburg playing in some Pro Bowls very soon.
Let's hope so, and let's hope there are better things coming up for these New York Giants, who finished the season, unfortunately, at 6-10. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Stay right where you are. We are coming back. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here outside of MetLife Stadium. And let's now go back inside, hear what Will Tye has to say.
I progress every day. And blocking, also receiving, felt good. And I'm glad I'm able to finish the season the way I did.
If this is, in fact, your last game playing with Tom Coughlin as a head coach, what do you take from it?
Learned a lot. I learned he's going to be tough, but he told me a lot, just to always finish. And he always believed in me before I probably believed in myself. But that was a good feeling right there.
Some of the positives that you can take away from this season, you know, like guys didn't make the playoffs for next year.
We know we got a good team. We know we can finish in all phases, special teams, defense, and offense, because we did it sometimes this year. We just got to continue to do it, because we know we can, that's for sure.
Do you think you established yourself as an NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, I got more I can do. I know that, definitely, but I like where I'm going.
Something you're going to really focus me on in the offseason?
Everything. Even receiving, definitely blocking, and just everything. All my lateral movements, because I know I can move faster in a lot of ways.
Will Tye, a product of Stony Brook University. Amani, Giants all-time leading receiver. You tell me your assessment of Will Tye.
I really enjoy watching the guy. These are the stories that in the locker room everybody loves. Guys that come from nowhere and really pull themselves up by their bootstraps and just compete. And sometimes it always doesn't always look pretty, but the guy, when they throw him the ball, more often than not, he makes the catch. Gets the ball upfield, gets the first down. He does what needs to be done. There's a lot of room for improvement. He talked about his lateral movements in that little in the interview. And if he can get that going, I think getting his momentum going once he catches the ball, I think that will set him apart. But for a rookie to not even be on the roster and to do what he did down the stretch, becoming one of the most integral parts in the last game with the most targets of any receiver in the game today and really being productive, I mean, that's saying a lot. Those types of stories usually don't happen in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my high school coach said the most important ability you can have is reliability. Yeah. And Will Tye's been reliable, his hands. And in a place where you thought Larry Donnell would have gotten those yards as a guy that can stretch the field, but he's a tough, compact guy, 6'2", 260. Tremendous upside. He's going to be a good football player.
I think it's phenomenal that he's done what he's done as a rookie. And, Tom, you hit on this. This is a tough offense to learn as a tight end because you're not just on the line of scrimmage hand down in a traditional sense. You're sometimes lining up as a fullback. You're going in motion. You're blocking. William Tye's done a great job all season long with his blocking, and he's also done a great job with his yards after the catch. Usually tight ends, you throw them the football and that's it. It's game over. They're tackled on the spot. But how many times do we see Will Tye shake a tackler off and get forward to get the first down? He's done a phenomenal job with that. I commend him for it. And Eli's done a great job of getting his tight ends paid. Tight ends coming in. You may not know who the tight end is, but by the time they leave here, they get paid.
All right. Well, Will Tye for sure in what has been a dismal season more times than not is a bright spot. We're coming up with our final thoughts. Stay right where you are. Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Obviously, the focal point of everything today is head coach Tom Coughlin. Does he stay? Does he go? Nothing has been decided as yet. Everybody knows how I feel on it, and it's not because I'm here doing Giants Post Game Live. You don't make change for the sake of making change. If you could tell me you're bringing in a combination of Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry, yeah, go ahead and make the change. But unless you're doing that, I don't think you're getting a better man. Also, with this team than Tom Coughlin, you need better players. You need some good luck. That's my take on it.
Well, Tom Coughlin's he's a future Hall of Fame coach, and I think that the Giants realize what they have, and this is going to be a tough decision for them. But I also think they realize that it's more about the organization in its entirety, and it's not just about one man. And so they've got to do a better job in a number of different areas. The one thing that I'll say, there's a small little part of me that hopes that Tom Coughlin does retire, and here's why. Because he won't truly be appreciated for the great man that he is and the great coach that he is until he's gone. And I know that we all have experienced that as well. They will not appreciate, and people will not appreciate Tom Coughlin until he is done coaching. And that's a shame because he deserves a lot better than that.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, Sean, about what he deserves better than after that loss in Minnesota. And I have a lot of respect for Coach Coughlin, and no one is going to argue about the type of person he is, the integrity, the quality of him as a person, his family. But for a team to win in the league, everyone's got to be on the same page. Who you draft, who you keep, the roster, putting players in a position to succeed, being stingy on defense, offense, establishing dominance on the line of scrimmage, getting the right big guy. You know, good lineman is like getting a seven-footer in basketball.
Yeah.
You have to get quality big guys to win in the NFL. And I hope going forward that no matter what the combination is, this ownership can find that cohesion to help this team win going forward. Because I've said this before, the end result hasn't been good season to season after the 2011 season. 0-6, lost six in a row the second year. This year, you know, losing those games in the fourth quarter.
It's been three tough years.
Yeah, I mean, those have been tough years, and that has to be fixed.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, the people aren't realizing is I was here when Jim Foster was here, and I saw how the organization wasn't as sturdy. There wasn't as much, you know, there was things that you just couldn't bank on every year. With Tom Coughlin, you know that the team is going to be prepared, and you know that they're going to put forth the effort. And I can't always say that about a Jim Foster coach team.
And Jim Foster, though, was a good guy.
And you got to remember who was the guy who in the ownership, the late Wellington Mara, was the guy who made a point to bring in Coach Coughlin. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, that's his kind of last coaching hire before he passed away. I think that might be one of the reasons why it'd be a little bit harder to let him go.
Listen, I've heard this from you several times. A coach's main job is to put his team, give him the best chance possible to win. They lost with 7 seconds left on the clock to Dallas. The following week, second game, to Atlanta with 1:14. They lost to the Saints as time expired, to the Patriots with 1 second left and 2 overtimes. You want to know what?
If they go 4-2,
that's what I'm saying. 2 overtimes, yeah. Jets and Panthers. If they go 4-2, we're not even talking about today's game.
Yeah.
We're talking about the playoffs. Yeah. But that's not the situation.
And you also got to look at the roster. I mean, we're talking about this. If you put the roster that we have versus most of the rosters in the NFC East, and I'd say we probably have the worst roster of any of the teams that are in the East. And the fact that we are still competitive, even with the best teams, the Carolina Panthers, the New England Patriots, that says something about coach.
Yeah, Bonnie, real quick, I scratched my head on James Jones. You know, why do you cut that guy? And look what he did in Green Bay.
Yeah.
With the absence of Victor Cruz, could he have been a better complement to Odell Beckham, especially earlier in the season?
Okay, look.
And in the fourth quarter, some of those games.
And Reuben Randall did not perform consistently enough to really give the Giants that second receiver.
Yeah, they never had a fallback plan for Victor Cruz coming off of his knee injury. And who would have thought that he would not take a snap? Who would have thought that Will Beattie would not take a snap? And who would have thought that Jason Pierre-Paul miss half the season?
John Beeson.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just – and listen – We haven't said anything about Odell Beckham Jr., most yards by any receiver in the history of the NFL, so kudos to him. Listen, for everybody here, Amani Toomer, Roman Oben, Sean O'Hara, myself, I'm Russ Salzberg. For everybody, Don Sperling, Christine Balliard, Dan Coney, Rich Begala, Joe Scatafara, everybody here.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being part of our Giants Post Game Live
go
here
Big Blue.
On Line 9. This is the last time till next season. We will see you. Have yourselves a good 2016. We'll see you back in September.